All right, let's do this thing live. Today, we have a guest whose story is a testament to the resilience of the human spirit and the transformative power of creativity and spirituality. Yvonne Garcia-Zahir grew up in a gang-infested barrio, facing challenges that most of us can't even begin to imagine. But rather than becoming a product of her environment, she channeled her experiences into healing modalities, a turn from Catholicism to spirituality, and a compelling body of literary work. Her book series, short stories, and plays offer a world where she came from, and they tell us things about her that we need to know, and we're going to find out today, as well as the realm of imagination that she creates, and we're going to learn about that. We're going to learn about healing. We're going to learn about meditation. We're going to learn about all kinds of things. We'll dig into the heart and soul of her story, connecting the dots between her life in the barrio, her spiritual and creative metamorphosis. We're going to learn all things Yvonne today. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome to A Funny Way of Looking. I am Michael J. This is where diverse voices meet open minds. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on funnywayoflooking.com. You can also find us later on the podcast, anywhere podcasts are played. And I can't wait to talk to Yvonne. Yvonne, how are you today?
I am fine. How are you?
I am fabulous. I love the subjects that we're going to be talking about today. For hardest question of the day, this is how we start out every interview. Who do you want to do a shout out to?
I would like to do a shout out to Laurel Erica. She is the master teacher of word magic that inspired me so much, and all the women in the sacred writing circle.
I love that. Well, thank you very much for that. Let's get going with this thing and see just how it is that things work out for Yvonne. We talk about you growing up in a gang-infested barrio. What does that mean? Tell us about it, and then we're going to go from there and build on this story.
Well, it means that where you live is in the middle of a gang, and usually right across the tracks literally is a rival gang. So what ultimately happens is a lot of people get hurt through your life. By the time I was 20, I think 18 of my friends have been killed.
18 of your friends have been killed?
By the time I was 20, yes.
Were they in gangs themselves or
drive-bys or what? Mostly, sometimes drive-by, sometimes accidental. But mostly, yeah, they take one out and this side, and then the other ones take another one out in that side. It's awful. It's awful. But, I don't know how to explain it. It's the world in a smaller realm. Mm-hmm. Look at what's happening in the world now. Look at how people kill each other and everything for territory, oil, whatever the heck they think they need. It's the same thing.
When you're growing up in that environment, though, how do you feel every day? How do you relate to the world when every once in a while, I hate to say it like that, but somebody's going to die. You know this.
Yeah, it's really hard, but what I have done in my life is I don't judge the action. It people are people, just because you're a president or a congressman or whoever, you can order a hit or a kill and that's okay. But they're still people. And in the barrio, the people that live there, they're people. So when people think about gang people, they think that they're horrible people. They think all these things, but that's not necessarily true. There's a lot of shades to gray with all actions. And I said, it's the same as.
I have to ask this. I had a guest on before and his son was killed in violence. How do you deal with the people that I assume at some points you know who killed who? Is there ever a point where you say, I forgive these people that did such these things to me and my family?
You have to. I've had, several people killed, and sometimes when if you're not balanced, I'll tell the story that I probably shouldn't tell, but I'll say it. One time, some guys tried to kill my niece. She was only 16 at the time. And they were guys that were angry at her because she was with their brother and she broke his heart, whatever the case may be. When I found out that they waited for her after work and shot at her like 20 times, I'm not going to lie. My first instinct was, oh, my God. We have to kill them, all of them. That's what I thought. Instantly, that's what I thought. Because the idea of, I could have got a phone call that, and she's my favorite niece, my first niece, got killed. That was unacceptable to me. Just unacceptable. So that's how it goes. But you have to catch yourself. You know, I said it. Yes, I take responsibility for saying it. But a day later, I was like, what are you saying?
It's unfathomable to me. I guess I was lucky growing up in the suburbs, I suppose, instead of the barrio. So
it's hard. And I had the unique experience of being friends with both sides because I lived in South San Gabriel and I went to school in San Gabriel. So I was friends with both sides. So whenever somebody from this side killed or hurt somebody from that side, it was doubly painful to me because most of the times I knew who did it. Mm-hmm. Do with that information.
What do you do with that? I mean, how do you...
When you're young like that, nothing.
Okay. How do you reconcile in your mind? What do you say?
You know, there was always certain people who were doing those kind of things, and I hated them, you know, mm-hmm. and there were times that, boy, did I really wish that I could drop a dime. But again, I had a brother and I wasn't going to put my family in that position, but it's hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. You have written a group of short stories, a series of short stories about the barrio. When did it like become okay for you to write those stories, and how much of the stories are real and actual versus things that you did to protect others?
Well, what made it okay was 40 years. I didn't write any of them for 40 years. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, half the people are already dead, and I do change things around. I don't write an exact thing. It's kind of like different things put together in one story. I change the names, you know, those kind of things.
What do you want people to learn when, like, reading the stories? Is it cathartic for you, or is it that you want other people who are in gangs now to learn something from reading your stories?
Well, all of that, but mostly what I want, and I don't know why, is I want to bring to light that, you know, people are people, and it's not that they're all horrible people. There are some that are, just like in any country, you get the people who like to torture people or who are happy that the people at the border are suffering. You know, there's those people, but the majority of people are not like that. The majority of people have heart and soul, and they do care, and they don't want to be like that. And, you know, maybe like one of my stories called The Hills, It's exactly that. It's the circumstances, and it talks about a young man who never wants to be in the gang, never does it, but he's put in a position where he has to kill someone, and then he's in the gang after that. You know, what can he do?
You talk about silver linings in your book. Just give us an example of one silver lining. Like, that to me is not a silver lining, where you're forced to have to kill somebody so that you don't die yourself. And maybe you can look at it that way. Give me an example.
Well, you know, for everybody, there's a different silver lining, and you have to find that on your own. I can't say for somebody that happened to. My brother had a tragic life, and I don't know what his silver lining was, but in a play that I wrote, they said the prompt was, if you could talk to one person that has deceased, who would that be, and what would the conversation be? So in my conversation with my brother, he gave me an answer to his silver lining, but that could have been my imagination. Didn't feel like it was my imagination, mm-hmm. but it could have been.
What's your silver lining now?
that I write.
Okay. Okay. And do you do it now so that you continue to guild, continue to teach, continue to reach people? What is it now?
Well, if I'm going to be very honest, life gets people busy with raising children, making money, having things, buying a house, doing this, doing that. I didn't ever think about actually writing until the universe stopped me and I can't do anything else. I'm disabled. And I write because I started writing because I wasn't done with life. I wasn't done with teaching. I wasn't done with learning. And so that's why writing is my silver lining.
That's awesome. I think as we look at your story, you have the whole story about the barrio, you have your silver linings, you've got spirituality, you've got your meditation. I want to know how you got from, and I don't know if you were angry while you were living in the barrio or not, but somehow you got from that place into a place of spirituality and meditation. How did that happen?
Well, again, it happened because of my brother. My brother was only 19 years old, and some stuff happened, and he was going to go to prison for 20 years. And I loved my brother very much. People could look at my brother and think, oh, that's an awful person, or he looks awful. But my brother was the most kind-hearted, sweet person you could ever meet. And I was very angry with God. When that happened, I went to church to talk to the priest. And I'm the kind of person that wants to know why for everything. And nobody could give me a why answer. I literally went to every church you could think of. I went to the Mormons. I went to the Islam. I went to the born again Christians. I went to Buddhism. And I wanted to find out, why do bad things happen to people that aren't bad? Because I never looked at my brother as bad. Did he do some bad things? Yes. Yes, he did. But was he a bad person? No, he wasn't. So I started reading. And this was way back in the 70s.
Between those, though? How do you differentiate between bad things and bad person? Because how do you keep those separate?
Well, you keep them separate because actions aren't the person. There's a lot of people who do things that are shitty, excuse me, or bad. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means that they made a bad choice, or they were pushed into a bad choice. There's a big difference between doing bad things because you like it and doing bad things because it's your circumstances. You know, I mean, I don't look at people and think that they're bad because they're whatever. I just don't see that. I see that everybody has the divine within them, and it's what they feed. Are you going to feed the divine, or are you going to feed the opposite? Because, you know, we're all polar opposites of everything. And I also believe this. People can disagree with me all they want, but this is my belief. Whatever amount of the ability you have to be good, you have the equal amount of ability to be bad. Case in point, I mean, normally I'm pretty nice. I'm not really a bad person. But when I thought that they were going to kill my niece, what was the first thing that came out of my mouth? Oh, well, we have to kill them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's crazy.
How have the people that you know who have killed other people that you love and care about, how have they changed? And have you reconciled with them where you're able to speak with them now and you can
talk? Oh, well, no. Because most of the time when those things happen in the videos, you know, it's a certain group of people who are always doing those things. And I was not really friends with those people. I knew them. I knew of them. And yeah, I would see them at parties or what, but they weren't people I chose to be around. I mean, because even at a young age, I've always been able to feel energy, and I didn't know what that was. But at that time when I was young, and you know, we're talking way back in the 70s or early to late 70s, people didn't talk about energy or things like that, but I had a great sense of energy, and there were just certain people that I would not befriend no matter what. Okay. Even if they pursued me, I just wouldn't.
Gotcha. Talk about energy, because I want to get to the whole reconciliation. I want to talk about how you moved from wherever you were into where you are now with the meditations that you do.
Well, it was after my brother got sentenced to prison, and I was very, very angry. I was very angry at God. I just thought it was all such bullshit, you know? So I decided to go to the source, and I started reading the Bible from cover to cover. And for some reason, I really focused on the words of Jesus. And one of the words that he says, ask and you shall receive. Mm-hmm. And that just kept playing over and over in my mind. And the phrase, you can be as I am. For some reason, those two verses just kept playing over and over in my mind. So every night when I would go to bed, I would ask, show me the way. What is the right way? I don't believe that what I've believed all my life is right. Show me the right way. And again, we're talking the 70s here. After about a month of asking, and I know a lot of people are going to think this is bullshit, but okay, after about a month of asking, I saw before I fell asleep in my mind's eye, the word reincarnation. And I didn't even know what it was back then, again, in the 70s. And I was in a Chicano community. Everybody's Catholic. Nobody talked about stuff like that, okay? And I thought, I must have saw something or read something. It happened every night for 2 weeks. I would see that word. So I went to the library and I asked for a book on reincarnation. The lady thought looked at me very strangely. She says, I don't know. If there was one, it would be over there. I gave up. I didn't even know what I was looking for. And it was just like a movie. I turned around to walk away and I saw on the top shelf a book called Reincarnation. And it was in block letters, exactly like what I was seeing in my mind, The Phoenix Fire Mystery. So I took that book home and I did not put it down until I finished it. And it was big. And it made me cry because it made me feel somehow I knew everything that was in this book. I knew what it was. It was like something that I had forgotten deep down inside. And I cried and I cried and I understood then. I understood at that moment why things are the way they are. Well, okay. I started telling everybody. And what did everybody say to me? My dad thought I was, estás loca. You're upset because of your brother. You know, what's going on with you? You know, nobody wanted to hear it. Again, it was in the 70s. So I shut my mouth and I didn't say anything for 30 years.
Wow. There's a whole set of questions in my head. I want to start with, you were Catholic. And
yes,
now,
very Catholic.
Okay. Do you now believe in Catholicism or spirituality?
Absolutely spirituality. I do not believe in Catholicism whatsoever.
Okay. So when you talk about spirituality, what is it that you believe now and how does it help you through life and with your meditation and all this sort of thing?
I really feel that, I mean, this could be like too long of a podcast if we really talked about it, really, but I feel that I'm going to try and make it short and a lot of people won't understand it and might even get angry when I say this.
But go ahead. Let's talk about it.
Okay. But I believe that before we incarnate, we make contracts with people to experience things so that our soul is going to understand it and really know what it feels like. So in a sense, and in that play of my brother, that's what he tells me when I ask him, brother, would you do everything differently? And he says, no, because we all have our spiritual journey. And because of the things I did, my children are who they are. Because I did the things that I did, you are who you are, sister. And so, no, that was my role to play in this life. And I would not change one thing. So basically what I'm saying is whatever happens is exactly perfect. It might not seem like, do I like the fact that I can't walk anymore? Hardly. No, I don't. I don't like it. And it's sad to me. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm all happy about it. I'm not. Sometimes I get really sad. But then I remind myself, don't focus on that. Focus on your children are good, they're healthy and thriving. Focus on you have a wonderful husband and wonderful friends. Focus on that you do have a mind where you can write and understand and help people understand. So that's what I do. And I think everything is perfect, even when it doesn't seem like it is. And it does take strength to persevere through everything.
How do you handle that mindset where things aren't perfect, but they're working out the way that they should work out? Is it through your meditation, or is it?
I wholeheartedly believe in meditation. You know, for 35 years, I thought I couldn't meditate, and I would try through the years, and I would give up, and I didn't have the money to spend $5,000 to go to a retreat or anything like that. It wasn't, everything happened for me. Like I went spiritually up, and I kept it to myself, and I stayed up there, and I didn't fulfill, or everything didn't come to fruition until everything was taken from me. When I couldn't walk anymore, and I was in utter pain all the time, and doctors had me on 5 medications, I laid there one day and I said to myself, is this it for me? I can't walk. I'm in pain. My mind's not clear because I'm on like 5 different opioids medications for the pain. And I said, again, I asked God, show me the way. Somebody show me the way. And in my mind's eye, I heard silence. And I said to myself, silence. And I said, oh, I need to meditate. So instead of sitting the weird way, doing the, whatever it is people think they do have to do to meditate, I just lied there in silence. And eventually, I was able to clear my mind, little periods of time. First, just seconds, and then a minute, and then more. Because the mind is a part of your body. If you wanted a six pack, would you go one time to the gym and decide, I'm not going to get a six pack? No.
I'd try.
But, no. But you know, it would take months and months of hard work to train your body. And that's the way your mind is. You train your mind to silence.
What do you do to meditate? And then what do you teach people?
Well, I created I put together a really simple method, and I called it the 3-6-9 meditation method, because with me, it was hard to find at first what meditation worked for me. Now I can meditate anyway, but before I found that guided meditations were easier for people who didn't know how to meditate. So I do 3 minutes of guided meditation, 3 minutes of mantra or affirmation meditation, and then 3 minutes in silence. But there's like a nice music with it. So if you follow that 3-6-9 meditation method, you'll have meditated 9 minutes. But once you learn to meditate, you crave it because it's feeding your soul. When I liken it to when you are in the silence, in the silence, that's where you touch God or the universe. Because in the silence are all the answers. And believe it or not, in meditation, many answers come to you. But the trick of that is, if you don't write it down when you finish meditating, it's gone. And I don't know why. I'm not the only one like that. A lot of people I've talked to are like that.
I understand that. I understand it in dreams also. And in my daily thoughts, there's so many things going through. There's one thing that, bam, that's it. If I don't write it down, it's gone forever.
I know.
So do you keep a journaling pad with you or a writing pad with you all the time?
I do. And that's another, when I decided to write the book that I just published, it actually came to me in a meditation, like stop writing what you're writing and write a fantasy book. And I don't even know why that happened. And I thought, well, I'm just going to write a slutty old werewolf book, but it turned out to be anything but that.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a couple of scenes in there, but it turned out in the end, again, to be about energy. My supernatural book is turning out to be an energy book.
What do you want people who are listening to you now to come away and go like, oh my God, I'm so glad I listened to Yvonne. I'm so glad that I got this message. What is that one message you want everyone who's listening right now to understand?
That everybody can meditate. You think you can't, but you can't. You really, really can. The only thing you have to do, it's the same thing that doctors and lawyers and scientists do, is be determined. Be determined to do it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to learn some more about you. We learned about the body. We learned about meditation. Let's learn about Yvonne. I'm going to play a little game with you called This or That. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And if you have to explain yourself, because people might be thinking something, or you think they might be thinking something, you can do that too. All right. Let's start super simple, and then we'll go harder and harder. Maybe at the end, we'll think about some stuff that's thought provoking. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. Easy. Reading or writing?
Reading.
Okay. How about, I think I know the answer to this, but I may not. Barrio or suburbs?
Well, suburbs.
Yeah. You'd give up everything that you've learned and seen and done to become you and move to the suburbs?
No, no. I'm glad that I survived it. But would I take the chance of my children surviving it or somebody I love surviving it? No.
Okay. Okay. How about meditation or prayer?
Meditation. Well, what do you see? They're the same in a sense.
Okay.
And don't get me started on that. Have you ever noticed that the word pray and pray are the same?
Praying and pray?
When you pray, it's P-R-A-Y. When they pray on you, it's P-R-E-Y.
E-Y.
Ask yourself why that is.
We're going to do a show on that one day, maybe.
That's part of word magic, folks.
Okay. Easy one again, spirituality or religion? Actually, maybe that's not easy.
Spirituality, hands down.
Okay. How about reality or fantasy?
Oh, well, fantasy's nicer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go with that. How about inner strength or external support?
Inner strength.
Okay. Writing by hand or typing?
Oh. See, I can't say both. I guess by hand. I start with by hand.
By hand. I actually think there is a, you connect more to your story and paper and audience, and you have thoughts when you can write by hand, but it is slower.
Yeah. And then you have rewrite it in there.
Yes. You have to rewrite it. And I usually can't read what I write anyway. So.
Oh, me too.
About healing others or healing yourself?
Oh, that's a hard one. Well, first we have to heal ourselves.
Okay. How about community outreach or personal development?
Wow, you have a lot of them that I want to say both.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, again, we have to start with ourselves before we can change anything. So personal development.
Okay. I can understand that for sure. How about confrontation or avoidance?
Who are you talking to? Confrontation.
Even all the things you've learned now, you still would go with confrontation versus avoidance.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm a lot better than I used to be before. A lot of people hated me because I never kept my mouth shut.
Okay. All right. How about traditional values or new age beliefs?
Well, okay. That's a trick question, Michael.
Okay. Okay.
Because, you know, conservative beliefs or traditional beliefs are the same as spiritual beliefs. Really. I mean, they're all the same. You could be liberal and still be spiritual. You could be conservative and be spiritual. So I can't separate that.
Okay. How about independent projects or collaborative works?
I like collaborative works.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Have you ever done like one of these, a book where, you know, one person writes a chapter, the next person writes a chapter, you do a character, they do a character, anything like that?
I haven't. Yeah.
That would be a kind of a fun project, maybe.
Yeah.
How about local change or global impact?
Global impact.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you want to have happen to change the world? What is it?
Well, I think and I believe that we're in the age where it's kind of a battle between dark forces and light forces. And not exactly that way, but it would take too long to explain, but just to make it simple. Mm-hmm. But what we can do as an individual is higher our own vibration and turn on our own light. And if many people do that, guess what? It takes the dark away.
Okay.
So how
about nice. Artistic intuition or calculated planning?
Artistic intuition.
Yeah. Where do you get your intuition from? Is it from your meditation or somewhere else?
I a lot of it is from my meditation, but I'm telling you guys, this book that I wrote, I swear, I don't know about channeling a lot or anything. But I feel like that book was channeled because I wrote it like it's 89,000 words. And I don't really remember when I go back and read it. I don't remember writing what I wrote. I really don't.
Okay. I've asked a couple other people this, and I like this question: nature's law or human law?
Nature's law.
Okay. Last one: a life of comfort or a life of meaning?
A life of meaning.
Yeah. And what do you want your life to mean?
That I inspire just one person to do something great. That would be wonderful for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yvonne, I've loved this conversation. Thank you so much. I want people definitely to be able to stay in touch with you. And for everyone that's listening instead of watching, I'm going to spell some things out for you. Yvonne, it's Yvonne Garcia Zahir, and that is the website. So it's .com. It's Yvonne, Y-V-O-N-N-E Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A Zahir, Z-A-H-E-R.com. Also over on Facebook and Instagram, Yvonne Garcia Zahir. And you can follow us over at A Funny Way of Looking. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. You can find that over on our website. You can also look at afunnywayoflooking.news. It'll take you right to the website, and it's easier than finding sometimes on the website itself. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Yvonne, this has been fun. This has been a really good talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody else, we'll see you next time on A Funny Way of Looking. Peace out.